Well, good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I begin with the message, I'd like to explain a little bit about the video service ministry that our church is trying to begin. Up to today, we only have 9 people who signed up, and I've been hearing a little bit of rumor whereby some of us may not understand what is involved in this ministry. You do not have to do much. You do not have to do any talking if you do not feel like talking. This ministry is basically a ministry where if you signed up, if there is any member of our congregation who has been called home to glory, or any of our congregation members whose loved ones have passed on, you will be informed. And right now, what we have is that Jean, once she receives the news, will send to the session members, and all the deacons and elders will then in turn send it to their fellowship groups. We do not send it to the church at large because we do not have everyone's email and we do not have that. But if we were to sign up for this ministry, we are going to start a new list where you will be informed. And as opposed to our present system, people in the fellowship groups will be informed. Some will attend, some will not attend. Those who attend feel that if I do not know the person, I will not attend. And there have been a few occasions where there are very few of our members who would attend simply because they do not know that member whose loved ones has passed away. And that is very sad and tragic, because in moments of bereavement, your presence will help a great deal to comfort the bereaved, especially those who are outside Christ, to let them know that as Christians, we care for one another's bereavement. Our loved ones have been taken away from us. We need to weep with those who are weeping. And that is the reason. You don't have to do much. You just simply make a commitment between you and God that on such occasions, time permitting, if you don't have any very important engagement, because you can't control these dates when a person is taken home. You just simply cannot control. And if you are available, you'll be informed. And because of this commitment you make with God, we pray and hope that you will come. That is all this ministry is about. It is not something onerous. It is not something very difficult. You won't be asked to preach or go up and pray or lead in singing. Okay? You just be there to say a word of comfort to the bereaved family. That's all. A very simple but a very important and necessary ministry. So I hope more of you will be burdened to respond positively and sign up for this important ministry. This morning, we are going to continue our study on the book of Ephesians. The title is From Darkness to Light. Many of us know who Fanny Crosby is. She has written many, many hymns. More than 9,000 hymns were written. She was born with sight. But 6 weeks into her birth, after she was born, she was stricken with a cold. And then with the inflammation of the eyes, and then they put some kind of poultice onto her eyes. She was blinded. Her nerves were damaged. And from that point onwards in her life, she lost her sight. She lived in a world of darkness. And one of the things she said in her biography was that the first person I'd like to see when I receive my sight would be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living a life of blindness where darkness is the day-to-day experience is something that we dare not imagine. We cannot imagine. We are frightened. Because of sight, we are given so much. We can see colors. We are able to move around. We can see obstacles in front of us. We can do so many things with sight. But the text that we are going to consider, it's not about whether we are in darkness or in light. The text that we are going to consider is that we were darkness and we are now light. It's not talking about our position in darkness. Once upon a time, we did not see We could not see. We were in sin. That's not the focus this morning. This morning's focus is your life. Your life, my life in the past, as the Bible tells us in verse 8, for we were sometimes darkness. The word sometimes there refers to in time past. There was a time in our past life when we were darkness, not that we were in darkness. Whatever we did, it was called darkness. You and I were walking darkness. That's what it means, in the past. If you go to work and you are a very, very good civil engineer in building buildings and doing foundation work and building bridges, people will look at your life and they're going to see all your completed projects. At the end of your life of 40 years of working, you may be known as the best engineer the country had ever known. And they will look at your many projects, and your projects are so spectacular, and the way that you have designed those tall buildings, suspended bridges, in such an amazing manner that they have included it into a magazine to praise your many 40 years of tremendous construction that have transformed the lives of so many people because of your building, because of the bridges. The traffic in this city is much better. The life of these people who work in this office building is much better. They make tons of money because of what you have done. God says that is a life of darkness. What you have done with 40 years of your life in helping people, in building up their wealth, in making their lives more comfortable, in alleviating all the traffic jams, it is darkness. Why is it called darkness when so many people's lives are impacted? You look at our world, there's so many inventions. You have people invented the elevator, we call it lifts. It's a tremendous invention. When we study the history of architecture, we are told that there was a point in time when they started using reinforced concrete. Skyscrapers began to be constructed. But because there was no invention of the elevator, the first floor was the most expensive. Second floor, third floor, fourth floor, it reduced in price. And when it comes to the 20th floor, it is dirt cheap compared to the first floor because you have to climb 20 floors to get to your apartment. Because of the invention of the lift, the elevator, now the reverse is true, isn't it? The ground floor, they turn it into a lobby. And then a penthouse right on top, the most expensive, and you have the best view. And so that's the selling point. If not for the lift, that top floor, your penthouse, will be worth practically nothing. Nobody will buy if you live on the 40th floor and the lift breaks down. You want to walk 40 floors every day? You're going to have the thigh the size of an elephant. Invention. Lives are transformed and changed by so many things. The light bulb, electricity. You keep on going and the list will keep on expanding. And there's no end to it because man continues to invent so many things to make our lives so much more comfortable. The air condition, the handphone, it's getting smaller and smaller. And I was told there may come a point in time where we don't even need any type, actual mouse or actual keyboard. Everything will be virtual. And they say that it's coming. Our lives will be changed. I'm sure all of us have in our possession a handphone, except for a very, very small minority. And you and I can't do without it. There was a time when that gadget never existed. 50 years ago, 40 years ago, the handphone was the size of a brick. Only a handful of people could afford it. And those who could afford it will make sure everybody knows that they have one brick in their hand to show off. You can't, I have. You don't, I have. Now it's the size of a credit card. And it's no longer a phone. Inside that phone, you have so many gadgets, innumerable gadgets, and you can contact your children halfway around the world with that little handphone because of the satellites that is way up there in the sky, crowded with satellites. Now, all these are inventions to transform our lives. But God has one word, darkness. Darkness. And so when you go to work, you give all of your best of your life. Oh, you're going to get something in return, which the Bible calls money. And if you get it by some devious means, not God-honoring means, God calls it filthy lucre. Money. Money, the invention of man that turns this world round and round. We study how money came into existence. Before that, there was bartering. You are a chicken farmer, you want to buy vegetable, you exchange some chicken for vegetable. You are a chicken farmer, you want to build a house, you go to a builder and give him some chickens and he will come and give you some bricks. But that is too burdensome. You could carry so many chickens with you. And so they invented money to make life easier. And that's how money now fills our pocket, our bank account, and control our lives. Money. All invention of man to transform and change lives. God calls it again, darkness. And so if you are working for money, that's the life of darkness. That's who you are, that's what you are. But God says, in the past tense, for ye were, a statement of fact regarding the past. Ye were, past tense, very important, in time past, darkness. Your life and my life to our children, your life and my life to one another had been one characteristic called darkness. That's it. Why is it called darkness? Because as long as your life could not help another person get rid of sin in his life, you can make his life very comfortable. You can help him to multitask by all the inventions that you make. But as long as you do not help him get rid of sin, which you and I know will bring forth death, if you do not help him get rid of death in his life, everything that you do for him in this life, God calls it darkness. Because any enjoyment that you have on this earth for 20, 30, 40 years of your life, at the end of it, what do you have? Death. Can you invent something that will help me get rid of death? Unless you can do that, then you are darkness. Your whole life is darkness. That's what God says. And God is right. You and I know it is right. If you are the best chef on this earth, you can cook the most delicious meal. How many, many meals can you cook for a man who has all the world, all the money in the world? He'll buy all the meals for the rest of his life and he will have a very, very delicious life. Every day, 3 meals a day, the best chef will cook for him. And then at the end of it, he dies. That's it. So your best ability to make his life so delicious still falls short because you cannot help him conquer death. That's why it is called darkness. And God said that was our life. And that life of darkness not only could not help anyone, it was a life of sin as well. Our life was a mixture of sin and good works. Of course, as far as God was concerned, when we were in sin, our good works are as filthy rags. It's not good enough to bring us to heaven, but there is still semblance of good works. There's still semblance of doing something that is kind. And that's why this world is not a world full of murderers, killers, as in some countries, as you and I can see. We call it battle zone. Some countries are in terrible state, where children are taught to fight and carry guns and kill. And children are taught to fight the battles of men. That's the world that we're living in some parts. But by and large, in Singapore, you and I enjoy some semblance of relative peace. When people drive on the roads, they follow the lines. There is still some kindness. Whether you are a believer or not, that is by the common grace of God. In order for us to have a society where we can worship in peace, where we can study God's word in peace, where we can do the work and the will of God in peace, and all by God's grace. So that God wants us, who were once upon a time characterized by darkness, who are now no longer characterized by darkness, which is a life of sin, a life of self-centeredness, a life of lying, a life of trickery, a life of hypocrisy. All these should no longer characterize us. If you are born again, it is not the work of man. Salvation is not the work of man. You cannot get rid of this darkness by sheer willpower. It is not by coming to church. It is not by getting baptized or giving offering. It's not by doing things that are Christian in nature. All these things will not take away that darkness. You and I know that. Please don't behave like that. Because that kind of behavior is very dangerous to your own soul. Because you have a double life. On Sunday, you come to church, you do everything Christian-like. Like the Pharisees of old in the time of Christ. As far as God was concerned, the Pharisees were very much like the Christians who come to church today, who are nothing but professing Christians. That means only in form, but not in heart, not in essence. They have all the outward, superficial appearance of a believer. The Pharisees, they dress like one, they talk like one, they pray like one. But they are not one. Why do you think God says, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Their righteousness was all external, like some of us. It's very deadly and dangerous because that will fill them with pride. They became unteachable, so much so that when Jesus Christ came at his first coming, and he was the perfect preacher, the perfect teacher, and he lived a perfect life. He was characterized by perfection, and in spite of all these, the pride of the Pharisees that had hardened their hearts so much so that it did not move them or penetrate many of them. Thank God some of them were saved, like the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee, but he was born again by the grace and the mercies of God. But by and large, those scribes and Pharisees who shouted and clamored, crucify him, crucify him, many of them died in their sinful pride. They have all the appearance, outward form of godliness and holiness, but not the heart. And that's what God wants us to realize and understand. Your life, your body, your person, once upon a time, it pointed to darkness. It did not do anything that can help anyone get rid of death in their lives. But now that you are God's children, and that's why you have the contrast, but now, not but when you are glorified, but now, that's why the word now is right in front for emphasis. Not tomorrow, but now, right now, the moment that you become a Christian, that's what the Bible says, but now are ye light in the Lord. It's only in Christ. When you have truly, sincerely, with all your heart, accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came down from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross for your sin, with all your heart, you know that Jesus Christ has done this for you. A most painful, humiliating death, which was meant for you and for me. He took it on our behalf when he died for us. And God accepted what he has done for us, with a very strong stamp of approval and acceptance, and God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ has defeated death for you and for me, for anyone who has truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior unconditionally with all his heart. You cry to the Lord Jesus Christ and you acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have sinned and I deserve death and hell, but be merciful, O Lord. Save me. I have accepted Christ as Lord and my Savior. Help me. Help me. And God says, instantaneously, Jesus Christ will baptize that sinner with the Holy Spirit. And he will now be completely transformed. And that's what it means by the phrase, but now are ye light in the Lord. So you are no longer darkness, but ye are now light. Not that you are in the light. Of course, you are in the light. But that's not the emphasis in this text. The emphasis in this text is your life on this earth. You and I have two lives as Christians. One is spiritual life. The other one is physical life. And because of the spiritual life that you now have in Christ, your physical life has now become a life of light. Your body, what you do now with your hands, everything about you, your entire makeup, your dressing, your hairstyle, everything about you is supposed to shine forth this light because you are now light. Do you like torch lights? Some of you may have noticed that I always carry my black bag with me. You know, inside my black bag, I have 3 torch lights. I like torch lights. I have a lot of torch lights in the house. I like to buy torch lights because they are, one thing, they are cheap. Number two, I like design. I like the way they design it. It's very nice. The contraption, all kinds of torch lights. I have big ones, small ones, tiny ones. And so sometimes at night, I will switch off all the lights and then I will switch on my torch lights and play. Play with the lights. Childish, right? 60-year-old man playing with torch lights. But what to do? I like lights. That's why I carry torch, just in case I'm stuck in the lift and then everyone is pitch black. You'll be very thankful that I have 3 torch lights. Now you laugh at me, but one day you'll be very thankful. You carry torchlight? You don't carry torchlight because your phone has lights, right? Your phone, you press a button, now you have the light. But mine is not the phone, mine is the real light. Your phone is the fake light. Because it's a phone. Mine is the only function, is a torchlight. God says your life is like that torchlight, to shine into the lives of people who are darkness, who are in darkness, and you can point them to the right path. Your life. I'm not sure whether you have heard this saying before by people. And make sure that it is not mentioned by any leader, especially the pastor. If a pastor ever say that to you, you either correct him or you get out of the church if he doesn't want to be corrected. If he ever tells you, don't look at me, look at Christ because I'm not perfect. That is the biggest, biggest lie that you could ever find in the scripture. Nobody will ever dare to say that in the scripture because the Bible made it very clear. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. Every Christian is supposed to tell people, don't tell them, don't look at me. You're supposed to tell them, look at me. And you're going to find Christ. That's what you're supposed to tell. And if a pastor tells you, don't look at me, look at Christ, I'm not perfect. He's now telling you, he's going to make an excuse to live in sin. If he ever tells you that, because that is why he says, don't look at my life, then look at Christ, and then I will have to ask him, you tell me where to find Christ. I will look for Christ. I want to look at Christ. Christ is seated at God's right hand. The reason why we are called children of light, here in the last part of verse 8, walk as children of light, because right now, everywhere you go, this body is supposed to reflect Christ. This light is not the light of your own definition or imagination. This light is Christ. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We are not the sun. We are the moon. The moon has no light of its own. The moon reflects the light of the sun. Jesus Christ is the sun. He is the one that will emanate the light. We are like the moon that will capture the light and then reflect back. And the light that the moon reflects is not the light of the moon itself. It is the light of the sun. And that's what we are. Not the sun, we are the moon. Reflecting the light of Christ. And the more you study God, so the more mature you are, more light of Christ will be reflected by your life. How you react and respond to trials and difficulties in life is the best time for the light of Christ to shine brightly. When your life is very smooth sailing, the danger is you're going to forget God. When your life is now characterized by trials and difficulties, whatever kind of trials and difficulties, that's the best time. You can end up by murmuring and complaining. But that was darkness. But the one who is light, that's who we are now. Now, God didn't say tomorrow or in glorification. God says all those who are in the Lord, who have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, right now, instantaneously, your life is now light. Because you are now made children of light, characterized by light. The light of Christ. Now, what exactly is the light of Christ? The light of Christ is the Bible. Your life is now lived according to the scriptures. In other words, when a person respond to the trials and the difficult people in his life according to the biblical teaching. That's what it means by we are now light. You go to work. The boss says, you and you will now lose your job. Both of you are very hardworking, but because the company is not doing well, we have no choice but to let go, both of you. You are a Christian, the person is not. The person who is not a Christian will respond in fear and tribulation. He has his whole mountain load of debt to pay. His house is not paid up. Half the things he has purchased is on hire purchase. So he has a very big burden and he became very, very sulky, depressed, and downcast, frightened. You, on the other hand, will react and respond differently. You have the same kind of responsibilities. Your house also not paid for. You also have a lot of things that you may have also purchased on hire purchase. Your children's future, your children's education, just like your friend, just like your colleague. But your reaction and response is one of still peace in your heart. Still continuing to trust your Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is still in control of my life. And the peace is still within your soul. And you know that now is a time where God will test your patience and your faith. That can you still trust your Heavenly Father now that you are entering a time of adversity? You have been trusting Him in times of plenty and peace. Can you still trust Him now that you are losing your so-called job and so-called little foundation of your home, of your life, your work? Can you still trust Him? Now God wants to teach you. Your foundation is not your job. Your foundation is Me. And you never learned that until now. Will you learn it? How you react and respond will now point to your colleague. He will ask you, how come you're still not afraid? How come you're still at peace? What do you have that I do not have? I know your life. I know that you have the same kind of burden as I have. But why is your response so different? That's the difference. We are now children of light. Because your life can now point people to Christ by telling them, I'm a child of God. My Heavenly Father is not a derelict Heavenly Father. Every part of my life, every moment of my life is ordered by Him because He promised us in Holy Scriptures that the life of a good man is ordered by the Lord. God is the one who controls my life. So it is not my boss who has let me go. It is my Heavenly Father who has now let me go from this particular job, and He wants me to continue to look up to Him and trust Him regardless of whether my life is in adversity or my life is not in adversity. It does not matter. My circumstances on this earth does not determine the peace in my heart. It is my relationship with my Heavenly Father as children of light that controls and determines the joy that is in my soul, the peace that I have in my heart, because I know God as my Heavenly Father. You share all these with Him because of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. That's what your life can do. And when this person comes to believe in Jesus Christ because he looked at your life and he sees this kind of biblical response and reaction, he's in darkness. And you know that death awaits him because of the sin in his life. But now you can point him to Christ. And the moment he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, he has now also overcome and conquered and defeated death in Christ, just as you also have in your own life. And that's why you are called light. No longer darkness. If your life is just only a life that can help a person have a comfortable life on this earth, but no ability to help him overcome death, then you are darkness. And I pray that as a child of God, why do you want to do that to yourself by switching off the light when you live a life of sin and waywardness? Why do you do that? Because if you are a child of God, you must not do that. You cannot do that. Because if you have truly experienced what it means to have Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you, your life will be so filled with a deeper sense of gratitude and thanksgiving. Like a man who had just crawled out of the desert and now you have been given the most refreshing water that you could ever hope to find on this earth. And then you have your thirst you're quenched, completely satisfied by the living water in Christ. That whatever your external state might be, it does not matter. I am a child of God. I am a child of light. My life is now a life of godly witness and testimony. But don't react like darkness, like a child of darkness. Murmur and complain because you are not happy with your life. Your life and my life will always be filled with problems and trials. That's what this world is. Please understand, this world is a world where Satan is the prince. Do you know what that means when Satan is known as the prince of this world? When he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ by offering him, if you bow down to me, I will offer to you all the kingdoms of the world, and they will also call you Lord, and they will also bow down to you. But all you need to do is to bow down to me. Don't go the way of the cross. The way of the cross that your heavenly Father asks you to do is so painful, so humiliating. You just do the easy way. You just bow down to me, and I will give to you what the heavenly Father promised you also. The world will bow down to you as well. That's the world. Because Satan is the prince, it is going to be a world full of sin, lies, and wickedness and evil. And that means there will be problems, there will be difficulties. You cannot expect a life on this earth without difficulties. But as a Christian, God will now teach us that these difficulties, they are made up of only two kinds. Number one, if you're going through a very difficult time, first thing you must always ask yourself, am I in sin? Have I committed a terrible sin that God is now chastising me? That is the first question you must always ask. Don't be so sure of yourself that I'm right with God, not a problem. Then why are you suffering? Why are you experiencing the loss of health? A serious illness has befallen you. Why are you experiencing the loss of jobs? Why are you experiencing all these trials and difficulties in your life right now at this juncture of your life? Ask yourself, have I sinned against thee, O Lord, that you are now chastising me as a loving heavenly Father, which you promise to all your wayward children? Because you love us, you will not want us to live a life of waywardness and bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ that we carry with us everywhere we go. And so you will discipline us to stop us from sinning, to steer us back to the right path. So ask yourself sincerely with all your heart, is this the reason why? Because you have not surrendered your life to the Lord, and that's why you are suffering. That's why you are going through this difficult time. And if your answer is no, it is not because of transgression. I've truly, sincerely examined my heart and I have trusted in the Lord. Then James chapter 1 will apply. Count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations, all kinds of temptations. And by the way, next quarter for the Sunset Gospel Hour, we're going to focus on the Christian and his temptations. 13 messages have been prepared from July to September to teach us what it means to face temptations in life, how to deal with them, how to overcome them, and how to get out of them when we succumb to temptations. And we need to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ, the master in overcoming temptations. God willing, July, August, and September. 13 messages. It's already planned. It's in the process of being completed and being done. The little cards. Your life and my life, if it is one of not because of sin, we are going through difficult times, then it is time to build up and strengthen our faith. Our trust. James chapter 1 made that very clear. That's why James says, count it all joy. To strengthen and to perfect our faith and our trust in the Lord. Because we all need it. You and I know that as Christians, we are not only called to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. All those who live godly lives will suffer persecution. The Bible made that abundantly clear in God's holy word. This is part and parcel of Christianity. You cannot say, I want to believe in Jesus Christ, but not a life of suffering. You can't, because this world is still in darkness. This world, the world that crucified Christ, is still the world where Satan is still the prince. And because this world is still in darkness and controlled by Satan, with God's ultimate absolute control, please understand that, and you live a life of holiness as a Christian on this earth, where you continue to point sinners to the Savior, where many sinners in your own life in your world. Now they can see Christ and many of them want to become Christians. You think Satan is not going to stop you just as he tried his best to stop Christ? He will now try to stop you. And how do you think he will stop you? Two ways. By seducing you with a lot of luxury goods. By making your life richer and richer, so much so that you become so in love with money, which is now the root of all evil in your life. Or he will persecute you to make life difficult. Please understand that nothing can hurt you or harm you without your Heavenly Father's permission. You can see that in the case of Job. God gave permission to Satan to take away his wealth. Then only could he take away his wealth. He sent the Sabaeans who robbed and killed Job's servants. And then he gave permission to take away his children. Satan sent a storm to cause the house that they were feasting in to collapse and all the children died. And then Job continued to trust in God in those circumstances when he lost children and wealth. Then God gave him permission. All right, now you can strike him with a terrible illness, but you are not allowed to take away his life. That means every virus, every bacteria, every bug that you and I face on this earth is not in the control of chance. It's not in the control of quarantine or some government. It's in control of our Heavenly Father. So don't be afraid of any virus that may be floating here and floating there. Of course, that is human responsibility. You don't try to test God and put God to the test by bathing yourself with some kind of Ebola virus. They say, see, if it's God's will, I will not get Ebola virus. Right? You don't test God. God says you don't have to be afraid. I am in control of your life. I'm in control of your health. And so Satan struck Job with a terrible illness. So he lost family, he lost wealth, and now he lost health. He had to sit on ashes because the pain on his body, the sores or the balls on his body became so painful. He had to sit on ashes to find some form of relief. There are no accidents in the lives of God's children. And that's why as children of light, you must only respond in a manner that will point people to Christ regardless of the difficult circumstances that we are going through. Because if you don't, please check your salvation. If you're still characterized by darkness, then it will be seen by your constant, continuous murmuring, complaining. How are people going to see Christ in your life? You mean God is like that? Your Heavenly Father is like that? He has done it to you and you keep on murmuring and complaining? That as if God has gone to sleep and that these things happen to you and he doesn't know? God is not like that. God doesn't go to sleep. He neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't even have any drowsiness. He's always alert. He watches over all his children regardless of whether there are a billion or how many millions and millions of them. He watches over every single one of them, every second, every moment of their time on this earth. That's how concerned and that's how powerful and how intimate God is toward all his children. When the Bible tells us that even the hair on our heads are numbered by God, you know what that means? You and I know that the number of our head keeps changing. Right? The number of hair on our heads keeps changing. Because hair will grow, hair will fall, hair will grow, hair will fall. And that number that is so consistently changing, for us, we can't even bother about it. We can't know what that number is. And yet God says, I know, every moment your hair changes. One hair drops, one hair grows. Every moment when the number changes, I'm aware. God is now teaching us the intimacy that he has toward all his children. That's what that's supposed to teach us. How intimate God is. And you think God has gone to sleep that you're going through this difficult time. He doesn't know that you will react and respond by murmuring and complaining. He knows the strength of your faith. He will never tempt you, test you beyond what your faith is able to endure. He knows the measure of your faith, just like a father knows the measure of the child's, his own son's or daughter's strength. You think you would ever put a load on your child that is so heavy that will crush your son, your daughter? You will never do that as a normal father. You only give your child to carry a weight that you know this is how much you can carry, 1 kg at this age, and that's the limit that you're going to be allowed to carry. And as a child grows stronger, add on 20 kg. Grow stronger, 40 kg. Right when you go grocery and you buy things from the supermarket, what do you let your child carry from the car to your home, whatever it is? What do you let him carry? It's a little three-year-old. You're going to let him carry, what, 3 bottles of detergent? 1 ml each? The child can't even lift it up. 3 years old. The child says, I want to carry. Well, give the child maybe a packet of cotton wool. Right? Looks big. But let the child carry. He wants to carry something. Let the child carry cotton wool. And the child will carry helping the mommy. But as a child becomes 20 years old, no more cotton wool. Now mommy will carry cotton wool. You carry detergent. Right? Because now the mommy is 60. Now you are 30. You are strong enough now. You think God doesn't do that to us? He will also do that to us. He knows how strong your faith is. So please don't react and respond in transgression. So how should we respond? God says in verse 9, the parenthesis. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not the work of man. It is something that cannot be controlled by man. Just like the fruit that grows out of an apple tree. An apple tree that is healthy and strong if you have very juicy, sweet seeds. The apple tree, when it blossoms and when it grows, when it bears fruit, it will be exactly like what the seed is supposed to be characterized. Juicy and sweet. And so the fruit that comes out of the tree will be juicy and sweet. You can't help it. Unless the tree is sickly, then they will have no fruit. But the moment the tree is healthy and strong, and if it is characterized by juicy and sweetness, the fruit that comes out of it will be the same. And that's what your life is, and that's why God used a very apt picture. First, darkness and light, and now the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who indwells you, whereby you cannot stop yourself from emanating what? The Bible says, all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. A child of God will always now be characterized by all goodness. That means whatever you do, whatever you say, will come out good. That's what it means. You can't help it. As a child of God, it's not the work of man, it's the work of God. Salvation is completely, entirely the work of God. And if you are truly born again, this will emanate out of you. You can't help it. Just like the apple tree will bring forth sweet, juicy apple fruits. Like the grapes, same thing. That's who we are now in Christ. You cannot help it because God is now doing the work in transforming you little by little, but surely you will be transformed. Point people to Christ by the way that you react and respond to the trials that we face on a day-to-day basis. It will not stop. It will stop when you stop walking. You will stop walking when you are in the coffin. That means you stop living. Right? Walk as children of light. So when do we stop walking? When we stop breathing. Stop living. And when that day comes, may God say to all of us, welcome home and well done, my good and faithful servants. As long as you have life now, whatever you have not done in the past, ask God to forgive you if you have done it badly. But whatever days that you have remaining, it is still not too late, brothers and sisters in Christ, to now let your life be characterized by goodness, by how you react and respond to the trials because of Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and your Savior. That's what transformation is all about as a Christian. Now you can do good in a sense that is not just good in helping a man take the lift up to 40th floor in his penthouse. Not that kind of goodness. The goodness that can help him get rid of death. That is the kind of goodness. And only Jesus Christ can do that. And your life can now point people to Christ and can have that impact. That's what your life has now become. To your grandchildren, to your children, to your friends, whoever, wherever God brings into your life, even to your enemies, you must respond in a way that is biblical. Respond in a way that is biblical. You have to study the Bible. And God has taught us how to respond to our own enemies, personal, as well as the enemies of God. God has taught us, all these are found in scriptures, our own personal enemies, God says, if they are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them drink. And by your good works, you will pour coals of fire upon their head. You know what that means? That means by your good works, that no matter how evil, how wicked, and how painful they hurt you, you continue to respond in kindness and goodness. And then the person will be so full of pain and hurt and shame. How come this person, no matter how many times I abuse that person, the person continue to respond in love, in kindness. And the person one day will feel so full of shame that the person will now come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because you will tell him, I will take all the abuse that you can throw at me. But no matter what, I will not respond in sin and hurt you back. I will continue to pray for you, continue to love you and care for you because of Jesus Christ. What he has done in my life. And I want him to do the same in your life by forgiving you. That's what it means. It's found in the scriptures. Romans chapter 12. It's not made belief. It's all taught in scripture. That's what it is. All goodness. You continue to respond and react in goodness. Not only all goodness, all righteousness. Always do what is right. Don't let yourself fall into sin because you never wrestle against flesh and blood, but always against spiritual principalities and powers in dark places. Please understand that when you are going through some physical pain, it is not the physical pain that you are literally wrestling with. It is your patience, your trust in God, your Heavenly Father that you are going through. If you respond in sin, the moment you think evil thoughts, the moment you speak a word that will hurt, you have lost. You have lost that test. And you need to repent and ask God with all your heart to forgive you and to give you the strength not to transgress and not to sin again with your mind and with your lips and with your actions. That's what it means. All righteousness. When you stumble and fall, make right again by asking the person, please forgive me. Dad has done wrongly. Mom has done wrongly. I have sinned against you, Mom and Dad. Please forgive me. That's how you make right. That's what I mean by all righteousness. You've done wrong, fix it. By apologizing with all your heart, sincerely, truly. That's what I mean by all righteousness. And then all truth. Always speak the truth. Don't be a liar. Because liars will have no part in the kingdom of heaven. God made that very clear. You don't believe that, you study the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. God mentioned it twice on purpose. Those who tell lies, you better do not treat this as a trivial sin. And there's no such thing as white lies. A lie is a lie. Period. And God says, you are of your father, the devil, because he is the father of lies. God cannot lie. If you are a person who always tell the truth, not only Bible truth, but everything you say is truthful, that is the child of light, because God cannot lie, and therefore you must not lie as a Christian. No matter what, tell the truth. There will be moments when out of fear, out of sudden fright, you lied. Fix it by repentance. Apologize. I'm sorry I lied in this circumstance. Please forgive me. Make right. Tell the truth. Characterized by all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. Because that's what God has done for us. And that's the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of one who is light. And that's how wonderful your life can be. So when you go to work, don't just be the best teacher, the best engineer. You can do those, but do more than that. Not only to give them a comfortable life here on earth, by what you do, by whatever skill that God has given to you, but go one step further, and that is to help them get rid of death. Because you have experienced how God has taken away death from your life because of Christ. You and I were darkness. Now we are light, children of light. Not in darkness, not in the light. That's not the focus. That's another passage. But this particular passage, it describes your testimony. That you and I are the lower lights. Like the moon, reflecting the light of Christ. Please ask yourself before God, is my life reflecting the light of Jesus Christ? To my spouse, to my friends, to my children. By how I conduct myself as a housewife, as a father, as a husband, as a son, as a daughter at home. Because if you are not, then you are darkness. There are no alternative. There's no gray. You cannot say, well, I'm gray. There's no gray. Darkness or light. Only two options. Before, God says, as a sinner, bound by sin, you and I were walking darkness. Could not help anyone get rid of death. Now you can, in Christ. Do it. Help one another. Help me. Help your brother. Help your sister. We all need each other to be better lights, because the world is truly dying in sin, and more of them are being confused by the falling away of Christianity in the last days. Please do not add to the millions who are already doing that. Please, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of your own soul, and for the sake of the people that God has given to you in your life, let the lower lights that you and me be burning, burning brightly for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for salvation so rich and so free that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee, Father, for the privilege of remaining on this earth to be Your witnesses to many of our friends and family members who are still dying in sin. We were once darkness, O Lord, but now we are children of God, light, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, therefore, as children of light, to truly point people to the Savior by the way that we live, by the way that we react and respond, especially to the trials and the difficulties that we are experiencing in this life. O Lord, we surrender our lives to Thee, and we do so without any conditions. And whatever You have given to us in this life, may Thou help us, strengthen us, both the inner man and the outward, that we may truly point people to the Savior by the way that we respond to the trials and the difficulties that we will continue to face as long as we live on this earth. And may we do so, O Lord, with Thy enabling, with Thy strength, and with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, that our family members and our loved ones may continue to see Christ in us. Thank You, Lord, for this wonderful work of salvation that You have wrought in the hearts of all Your children. For we know that this is not the work of man, but only God alone could perform such a great transformation, that You have transformed us from darkness unto light. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to change the closing hymn to hymn 404, please.